All right. Good morning. It's so good to see you, and I'm thrilled that you're here. And I hope you'll brought your Bibles with you. And if you did, open to 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to read our text. It's just one verse this morning, and I think that it's simple and also incredibly profound. And so, man, I honestly, with my whole heart, know that that God wants to change our lives today through the truth of His Word. And so, hear it, knowing that God wants to do an amazing work in our lives. And here's the text, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." So this text starts off by saying, "And by this we know." The very first word here that I would need to discuss is ginosko. It's the verb that means to know. And it has many shades of meaning, just like our English word know. In fact, in other languages, they'll have different words for like knowing a person and knowing a fact. But in English, our word know does lots of duty. And the same thing is true in Greek. So in this case, it says, "And by this we know." Gnosko in this case means to have or possess certain knowledge. It's to know something. And here, this verb, "by this we know," is in the present tense. So there's something that we know now, or there's something that we are knowing. Okay? So what John is affirming here at the beginning is that there is something we can know, something that we can be confident in right now. Not wondering, not wishing, not hoping, but something that we know for sure. By this we know. So, like the first thing I want to get into our heads is there is something we can know. We live in a world that is doesn't believe in certain knowledge hardly anymore. Like, you can't know anything. John disagrees. There is something we can know. Now, so that's the verb. This little text starts with a conjunction, "and." And is conjunction linking up what's gone before with what's happening here in verse 3. So, what has gone before? In verse 1, John told us why he's writing this section of the letter to us. He says, "I'm writing this so that you sin not." John's purpose is that we not sin. And he goes on to say, if anyone does sin, not since we will or when we do, but if we sin, we have the righteous one, Jesus Christ, as our advocate before the Father. And not only do we have Jesus as an advocate, Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice that brings forgiveness and cleansing from all of our sins, just as we celebrated with the Lord's Supper. So this "and" here at the start of verse 3 looks back and connects it with John's purpose, that you sin not, and that you know your advocate, and that you know that you have forgiveness and cleansing through him. The "and" looks back. Then it says, "and by this we know." This "by this" looks forward. "By this" here is now John hasn't told us what this is, just "by this." So we don't know what this is yet, but there is something we can know. There's something we can be knowing with absolute certainty, and this is the marker. By this we know something. By this, whatever this is, we know. So, again, there's something we can know. And this is how you know it. Okay? So, what is the something we know? Well, it's not actually something as much as it is someone. Let me finish the first part of verse 3. By this we know. What do we know? That we have come to know Him. Now here the Greek is beautifully explicit. The same verb is actually used. It's gnosko again. In the first instance, there's something we know now. It's a present tense verb. Here, in this case, it's a perfect tense verb. And so the translation reflects that, in that we have come to know Him. So the getting to know Jesus is not something that is innate. There's a moment in time when you come to know Him. And I think for some people, this moment in time is really concentrated like into a second. And for some people that's coming to know Him, this moment in time is spread out over perhaps days, weeks, and months, and even years. That I'm not worried so much about how long it takes, except the reality of it. There is something that you come to know in the past, perfect tense, that has repercussions and produces a state of being in the present. So, by this, we have come to know Him. So what is it that we can be knowing? What is it that we can know? What is the something we can know? We can know that we have come to know Him. Now, are we confident that we know Him? Do we know that we know Him? See, the verb know is used twice. For some people, the idea that one could have certainty about such matters, that one could say with absolute certainty, I have come to know Him, is the height of arrogance and presumption. What do you mean saying that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How could you possibly know that? How do you know it's not just a figment of your imagination? I mean, people who don't know Him really wonder, how can you say that you know? How do you know? And so sometimes we can hear the skepticism of the world and begin to question even ourselves. And so listen to this. If God says that we can't know, and we say we can, now that is arrogance, and that is presumption. I know it's hard to listen, and I think you heard me clearly. But I want to say it again, because I want to make sure that you actually heard what I said and that it sunk in. I mean, there's a lot of words coming at you fast. If God says we can't know something, and we say we do, now that is presumption. And that is arrogance. But if God says we can, and we say we can't, that is unbelief. That is actually far more arrogant than the previous scenario. If God says you can, and you say you can't, what are you doing? Yeah, you're calling God a liar. God, through His Holy Spirit, inspired John to write these words. By this we know that we have come to know Him. I'm not the one saying that you can know that you know Christ. God is. We know, we can know that we know Christ personally because God says we can know. And now we get to the how. Remember, there's something you can know. Well, what is the something you can know? Well, that you can know that you know Christ. All right? Now, how? How can you know that you know Christ? I'm sorry I have to use know twice. It's confusing, but it's in the text twice. See, by this looks forward. By this, we can know that we have come to know Him. So what I'm telling you right now, I'm about to tell you how. And I'm about to tell you how you can know for absolute certain that you have come to know Jesus Christ. I hope you're fired up, because see, we're about to find the assurance and confidence that has eluded some of us essentially forever. We're about to move from despair to joy, because we're about to discover how to have real confidence in our relationship with Christ. We're about to know exactly how we know that we know Him. So this is amazing and awesome. So let's go. Let's see how we know. Okay, y'all ready? And I already read the text, so the cat's out of the bag, right? That's why I don't like to read the text in advance. It kind of messes up my setup, but it's God's setup, so it's still good. So what is the how? How can we know that we know Christ if we keep His commandments? And suddenly the air pops and all the air is gone from our balloon. And when I get to this point of saying the way that you know Christ is by obeying His commands, I feel like Vodi and saying, I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. That's kind of like bad news here. That our assurance of our salvation is rooted somehow in obedience to Jesus Christ. But we have to be aware the God-given way to know that we know Christ is to keep the commandments of Christ. And now, with that heartbreaking news, we can give up all hope of confident assurance, right? It's really not that way. Some of you are thinking right now, if I actually have to obey Christ to know that I know Him, then I will never know that I know Him, because I will never be able to obey Christ. But John emphatically disagrees. See, his very purpose in writing this letter is that we sin not. I write these things to you that you sin not. And this purpose is now going to take on added significance, because what is sin? It's personal disobedience toward Jesus Christ. That's the way Christians define sin. And John is saying, I write these things to you that you sin not. So, why does John not want us to sin? Well, because it's bad, but also because as long as we are living in sin, we're going to struggle to know that we really know Christ. And John wants us to have assurance. He wants us to have deep assurance. These things I have written unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Obedience is part of this equation, and John's purpose in this section and in the whole letter is to give us deep assurance, and yet he throws this atom bomb into the equation that relates personal obedience to Jesus to assurance of salvation. And see, John wants us to know that we know Christ, not wonder, and he wants us to have deep assurance. So if you're truly discouraged by this, my guess is it's possible that you don't really understand it yet. And that's my goal in these next few minutes, is to help us understand the way obedience to Christ is connected to knowing that we have come to know Him. Here's what John is not saying. John is not saying that we must obey Jesus to get to know Jesus. If that were the case, I would join you in despair. Rather, John is saying that we must obey Jesus in order to know that we have truly come to know Him. See, there's knowing him and knowing that you know him. Are y'all seeing this little thing in the text that has just captured my imagination? These, he says, by this we know that we have come to know him. So there's two kinds of knowing going on here. And I, so what he's not saying that we must obey Jesus to get to know Jesus. See, there's knowing him and knowing that you know him. Obedience is not the path to knowing Christ, but rather it's the proof that we actually do. Obedience is the means of knowing that we know him, not knowing him directly. And that difference matters. Obedience to Jesus is not the condition which we must meet in order to know Christ. Obedience is the evidence that we have indeed come to know him. Obedience is how we know that we truly know Jesus. So what John is saying is that knowing Jesus always produces obedience. Always, without a doubt. So that if you are obeying Jesus, you know that you have come to know him. See, if you're not obeying Jesus, then you don't know. You don't have the proof. And this is why so many Christians, I believe real Christians, struggle with doubt in relationship to their salvation. Because there's no obedience. Or at least their obedience is so wretchedly inconsistent that they're constantly having doubts about whether they even know Jesus or not. So, if you're not obeying Jesus, you can't know that you know him. Now, I'm preaching 1 John right now and making his points. There are a lot of other verses, amen, that deal with assurance. Somebody say amen. There's lots of them, okay? You may be able to go on another, get on a Pauline Express and find some other ways to find assurance. Get on Petrine Express and find still other ways. I'm trying to let John speak to our hearts this morning, the way that John says that we can know that we have come to know him. Okay? So, if you're not obeying Jesus, according to this 1 John here, you can't know that you've come to know Jesus. Since obeying Jesus is the proof that we know Jesus, we have to see that knowing Jesus is not the knowledge of a set of facts about a person, but a personal relationship with a crucified and risen Savior. Our confidence comes from having come to know him, not about him, not certain doctrinal truths, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's John's point. Knowing him not only enables obedience, but knowing him absolutely produces obedience. And this is so helpful to us. Man, some of us think that Jesus is waiting on us to obey him. And he's actually waiting for us to get to know him so that we will obey him. And if we try to obey him without getting to know him, we miss the supernatural spiritual dynamic that flows out of knowing Jesus Christ personally. Knowing Jesus Christ personally is what produces obedience. Haven't you ever wondered, maybe you haven't, but haven't you ever wondered how Jesus would walk by a table with a rich guy counting all his money, Matthew, and say, "Follow me," and he would just close up shop and take off after Jesus? Because the reason is because Matthew knew enough about Jesus so that when Jesus called him, Jesus produced in Matthew an obedient fellowship. Now, was it perfect? No, he had a lot to learn. But see, it wasn't that Matthew was so awesome that he followed Jesus. It was that Jesus was so awesome. And when Jesus commanded him, he obeyed. Because it was Jesus who commanded. And so this is John's understanding here in this passage. Knowing Jesus produces obedience in us. And as we have that obedience, then we have this absolute assurance that we've truly come to know him. And see, this is almost the equivalent of what Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room in John 14. Remember what he said? He said, if you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments. Has anybody out there ever struggled with that? Okay. So, like, you sin and you go, well, I must not love Jesus, right? Or I must not love Jesus enough. And then, I don't know if you're as bad at going down the rabbit hole as I am. But then you start questioning your love for him. And do I love him? How do I know that I love him? How could I possibly know that I love him? And it's okay. So see, what I believe John is actually doing in this passage is giving us the same teaching in a simplified form. Okay. The emotional component involved in if you love me, you will keep my commandments makes people wonder, I think I love him, I hope I love him, I'm not sure that I love him, do I love him enough? And it gets all muddled and confused in our heart. And if you think we're the only one who ever struggled with this, we're not. Remember Peter, after the betrayal, Jesus comes to him at the beach, and what does he say to Peter? Peter, do you what? Do you love me? And then he gives the answer, and then Jesus isn't satisfied, it sounds like. Peter, do you love me? And Peter gives the answer, and Jesus gives it a third time. Do you love me? And finally Peter says, Lord, you know everything. I mean, we get to this point sometimes as we meditate on our failures, we wonder, do we even really love him? And so John here, understanding how that could be difficult for us to sort through, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he simplifies it. It's not even, do you love me here? It's, do you know me? See how that just, now that's a question that takes it out of the realm of my emotions. Not completely, but it simplifies it. And this is, what John is saying here is, if you know me, you will obey my commands. And he simply says, if you know him, he tells us, if you know him, you will obey him. So Jesus is the Christ. What does it mean to know Jesus? It means knowing that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah born from the line of David. And he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He's the eternal life manifested in human flesh. He's the one who's forgiven and cleansed all of our sins through his blood shed on the cross. He's risen from the grave. He sits enthroned at the right hand of God as our advocate. And as king, he demands our allegiance. I don't know. See, when he says, we know that we have come to know him, he's talking about the real Jesus, not the one that you made up or that I made up. He's talking about this Jesus, our crucified, risen Savior, who sits on the throne of the kingdom of God. And as king, he does demand our allegiance. See, if we truly know him, we will give him our allegiance and obey him because he deserves it. And he's earned it. And he's worthy of our lives laid at his feet in absolute surrender and submission. And when we surrender in obedience, we will know that we did not surrender and obey because we were good or we were disciplined or naturally holy. We will know that we obeyed because knowing him, seeing him in glory, knowing him was the mechanism that produced obedience in us. If we know him, truly know him, we will obey him. If we do not obey him, then there is no proof that we have ever come to know him. That's what John is saying. But if we do obey him, that is evidence, proof positive, that we have in fact come to know him. And so, I hope this is clear. I need to emphasize a couple more things and we'll be done. See, the world is full of good people who try to do what is right and avoid wrong. Some of them do it more successfully than Christians. And what I want you to see is how completely this verse ignores all of that and revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. See, the emphasis here is not on whether we're saved or lost. The emphasis here is not on whether we're going to heaven or hell. The emphasis here is not even on whether we are good or bad. John is consumed with one person and one question. Do you know Christ? If you truly know him, you will obey him personally. When you zero in on him, suddenly all the rest of the questions really don't matter. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. It doesn't even matter if you're good or bad. It doesn't matter if you're going to heaven or hell. All that matters is Christ himself and whether or not you know him. Now, if you know him, you will give him the glory he deserves by obeying him. You won't be able to help it because truly knowing him produces personal allegiance and consistent obedience to Jesus. It is in this way that Jesus Christ is truly our Savior. Some of us don't even have a Savior because we're always trying to fix everything ourselves. We don't know anything about forgiveness. We don't know anything about cleansing. All we know is try to justify ourselves. And Jesus Christ comes as our Savior and reveals himself to us in all of his glory. And when we get to know him, he saves us. Obedience to Jesus, once he is known, happens every time. It is so certain and so absolute that John says you can know that you know him on the basis of your obedience to him. If you have confidence that you know Jesus today because you walked an aisle or prayed a prayer or because you go to church and try to be a good person, then you've built your house on a foundation of sand and it will not stand, and it gives me no pleasure to tell you that. God does not want you to be good. He wants you to surrender to and obey his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how good you are by the standard of the world. If you don't do that, you are eternally lost. And if you will do that, if you will come to know Jesus Christ, if you will lay yourself at his feet, then you will be good. But if you try to be good without surrendering to Jesus and without obeying Jesus Christ personally, then even your good deeds will be considered as filthy rags in his sight. John is consumed with Jesus and our relationship with him. Here's the deal. You can have assurance that you're a Christian. You can have assurance that you're saved. But you actually have to be a Christian in order to have assurance that you are one. A Christian is someone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and lives in an ongoing relationship of obedience to him. Finally, if your life is marked by personal allegiance and absolute surrender to Christ, then you can know that you know Him. If your life is marked by sin, then the answer is not fixing your sin so that you can come to know Him. Coming to Christ, knowing Christ, is what fixes your sin. If you're sinning, I have a new strategy for you. Get to know Jesus. You say, how do I get to know Him? Well, this is the hard part. You actually have to seek Him. And when I say that, I mean seek Him like your life depends on it. So many people get talked into sort of buying more into a formula than a person. And when I'm counseling, I resist giving people a formula. I want to force them to have an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Now, He will do that through His Word. So I share the Word with them, encourage them to believe the Word. But I don't want a formula to take precedence over a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, because formulas don't save people. Jesus does. So we tell people to seek Him with their whole heart. And Jesus' promise is, if you seek Me, you will find Me. So if you're struggling with sin, get a Bible and start devouring it. I don't care where you start. The whole Bible's about Jesus. But it'll probably make more sense to you if you like read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Because it'll mention Jesus more specifically. And then you can read all through the New Testament. But what are you doing? You're not trying to figure out the Bible. You're trying to meet Jesus. You're trying to get to know Jesus. And He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. And so that's what we do. Why do we do that? Because as we get to know Jesus, it's going to produce obedience in us. And as we begin to live in obedience, there's going to be this rich supernatural confidence that we really have come to know Jesus. If you seek Jesus, you will find Him. If you find Him, you will come to know Him. And if you come to know Him, you will obey Him. Amen? This is good. It's not a burden. Okay, it is a burden. You got to get to know Him. But it's not a direct burden. Oh no, I'm so responsible for my sin. Yeah, of course we are. But we're not responsible to fix it. He is. And how does He do it? By bringing us deeper into a relationship with Him. As you obey Him, you will begin to know for sure that you have come to know Him. Because it'll be proven every day in your life as you walk in obedience to Him. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. Let's get to know Him so we can obey His commands and have deep assurance of our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You so much for being our Savior. And forgive us, Jesus, so often for trying to save ourselves, for trying to live in the power of the flesh, what can only be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. Forgive us for putting our confidence in formulas and actions that we have done for security in our faith rather than in You personally. You are our confidence. You are the one who produces obedience in us. Knowing You and walking in obedience to You is the only way that we will ever get over all of our struggles and doubt about whether we're truly saved, whether we really know You or not. Help us to know you and walk in obedience to you so that we can know you and know that we know you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand on your feet. We're going to worship together.